These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of day I'm having.
Technical breakdowns, emotional breakdowns.
Emotional. Those are our favorite. Breakdowns.
Yeah.
There's a lot happening in this episode, so I'm sure that we'll get to that.
Yes.
Emotions.
I'm so excited. Okay, so I'm Lauren Davis.
I'm Michelle Baber.
This is Bravo Breakdowns. Today we have a very special guest lecturer student. She is an LA-based comedian, a comedy writer, and most importantly, a Bravo lover. Please welcome Ellery Smith.
I'm so excited to be here. It's kind of crazy.
We're so excited to have you.
What's it like to be excited for this podcast?
I do a lot of podcasts, and it's so rare that I get to really go off on something that I, you know, spend a lot of time with.
Right. Yeah. You've got to be like, oh, anime.
Exactly. Yeah. This is sort of like my dirty little habit, frankly.
Yeah. But you know what? There's nothing dirty about
There's nothing dirty about the content. What's dirty is how often I'm consuming it. It's sort of always in the background.
Right.
Like we're ending one rewatch and we're immediately starting it again.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's like, I think part of it is like Michelle and I used to do stand up too. And it's kind of like the ruminative nature of stand up. It's like, it just kind of makes the repetition of mentally ill people talking at you really calming, you know?
Right.
Like
Or you watch it and it just feels good to be like, I'm represented.
Honestly, kind of where it is. Like,
representation matters.
It's calming in the background where it's
mentally
like,
ill people. I'm like, that's me.
Yeah. So interesting.
Yeah.
There's something to it.
There definitely is. So when did you first get into like Bravo reality TV?
Well, my mom started watching it when I was still living at home. And like, I would watch it with her, but I wouldn't really watch, you know, like I didn't keep up with any of the shows. I would just like watch an episode here and there with her. Like I remember seeing NYC Prep with her.
Okay. That's a deep cut.
An absolute deep cut. I remember like the early New York. And then as I got older, then I started really diving into it. And now I've seen basically all of them except for OC and Miami and Dallas.
My gosh.
I can't get into OC for whatever reason, but I know. Isn't that insane? I think it's because, I don't know. I don't know what it is. They're almost too rich and like it's a little too close. No, you don't think so?
Oh, if you start from the beginning, there's some, especially the year that it's during the recession, there's some real life stuff. There's some homes being repossessed.
There's homes with carpets.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah, they're basically like it's a man of the people type of show.
Sure, they're like middle income.
Yeah,
right. I mean, does it take place behind the gates of Code of Shore? But there's carpet.
Way refrigerator
on the floor.
Carpeted gates.
Yeah. Carpeted gates. Right.
Yeah. And then Miami.
I've seen a little Miami.
Yeah, it is. It is tough, I think, to just because there was that huge break and you're like, where do I go?
Where do we begin?
You know,
why does Larsa look so different?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The continuity.
He's a great.
Yeah. The continuity is not there with Larsa.
When I see the Miami girls on other stuff, I always really like them. Like I liked the two on the Ultimate Girls Trip.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. They're great. Two really strong.
Yeah. But my favorites are Potomac, Atlanta, and then original New York.
Right. Original Roni is
unbeatable. That's the gold standard.
Yeah.
But I would try what you have to do with OC. You have to just, it's like working out. You're just
you
like,
just
I don't want
to
do it. And then you just do it. And then you're so glad when it's over, but it sticks with you all day.
Because
you're like, I did that.
News from it when I'm like, when it's like Tamara Judge comes out and says she has autism or whatever, I'm like, that's delicious.
Yeah.
Autism is delicious. You heard it here first, folks.
It's
so interesting. So I'm like, okay, maybe I should watch this so I can enjoy this. She's not autistic at all.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
But she is kind of like a Tiffany New York Pollard type where it's like, oh, to like study one of the creators
of
the
form. She's one of the greats, right? She's one of the greats.
Creators of the form is the perfect way to put it. She's
exactly.
She's the rubric that they're all
Yeah. Right. She's a blueprint. Vicki Gunvalson.
Classic.
Yeah.
OG from the OC.
So let's talk about the Valley. So, yeah, I guess, is anyone else a little scared about this season from the first episode? Just the sheer darkness of the subject
matter? I think it's going to get really dark.
And I think it's going to get really dark.
Here's the other thing that Vanderpump has been doing a lot, where this is especially true in Summer House, Bravo's been doing a lot, where every episode is really just a teaser for the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, I feel like, at least in Summer House, I'm feeling really sort of like blue-balled, where I'm like, where is the meat? You keep promising me that something's coming and it's not. But this episode, I was like, okay, I see where we're going and I'm seeing some of it right now.
Right.
Yeah, this is almost like a trigger warning that they're repeatedly telling us, like, don't worry, Jex will be institutionalized soon, so don't be too worried.
Right, don't be too worried, even though it looks like Tom Schwartz is doing his intervention.
No, literally. I'm like, Tom Schwartz.
But like that part, if Tom Schwartz thinks it's bad.
I mean, that part was so embarrassing. Like him being like, hey, this is your rock bottom. Two people telling me that it's your rock bottom.
Like Tom Schwartz, he is kind of an expert in rock bottoms, having lived in one for the past decade.
He's the Tony. It's what Tony Robbins is to inspirational. What Tom Schwartz is to rock bottom. Like this guy gets it.
He's like, okay. I know this.
I know
I've
this.
Been here. I live here.
I live here. This is my thing. Like wear these t-shirts.
Right. You know. Speaking of rock bottom, we open with a Jax at rock bottom montage where like it catches us up from last season, Brittany and his toddler son Cruz moving out and Jax being a mess and talking about how he's at rock bottom.
Right.
And parallel to that, we see Jesse getting his gross bachelor montage when we last saw him. His wife and toddler daughter had just moved out.
I find Jesse so gross.
It's so, oh, and my also, God. His apartment now, his bachelor, the way he's redecorated, like
I
ugly
find
it Eurotrash.
It's disgusting. Like, but he is kind of Eurotrash. That's his vibe.
He's such a star.
I don't like him. I don't want to see him on TV. I'm like, ugh.
We'll see.
That's where we differ.
We are like this person. You need him on TV because you don't need him other places.
Yes. That's where he belongs.
This will contain him.
Yeah. We just like, let's keep him on TV. I'm actually surprised he never did reality TV before.
But he did date Anna Nicole Smith.
It's just
a
gift.
He was in all those Trim Spa ads.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, okay. Now this all makes sense.
Also, him being like, him dating a girl who lives in Orange County. So he's like to Michelle, I think I'm going to move to Orange County.
Right.
Like, can our daughter go to school out there? And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You just started
Orange County is not close to LA. Yeah, she's like, no, like our kid's not going to leave preschool. Anyway, so our two great guys is how we start off the episode. Our two heroes. And now let's talk about the villain.
Yeah. So then we see Kristen, and all of this is happening so fast at the beginning. I'm like, okay, I'm glad we still have like the frenetic, messy editing of
that's when
season.
You know it's gonna be a good season when there's like so much going on, they don't even have time to talk about it. It's just like boom, boom, boom. That's how like
they're like,
old Roni was early seasons of VPR. It was like everything, just you cannot believe how much would happen in a season.
Yeah, and that's just good writing, right? We've got a writer here,
it is good writing. I went back to like season 4 of VPR to watch Jax and Brittany's relationship. So that I had like appropriate context, even though I've seen it fucking 5,000 times. And so I had appropriate context for the beginning of this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It does. It has,
all the makings of a fairy tale.
Oh, yeah.
But it hasn't changed a lot because it was like really, it was so this way from the beginning, but I doubt that if you were inside it, you would be able to see it. But like from her aspect, like she comes to LA and all of the people are like, oh, like has Jax asked you to move in yet? Like, has he asked you to have his kids? And then in their confessionals, they're like, you meet a new girl from Jax and you just try to be polite and smile, but you know that it's just one of a million.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like Kristen says, we find out she's still trying to get pregnant with Luke. They're still together. Spoiler alert, she will. And then also she's like, Jax, things are bad with Jax. Like, I've seen him be bad with girlfriends before, but this is really bad, like worse than before. And it's like worse than what we've seen?
Jax and Brittany last season was really bad. Her having like stomach aches and him being like, she's drunk. Meanwhile, he's on cocaine and she doesn't drink.
Yeah.
Like that to me, I'm like, yeah, that's really bad.
Well, I think for him, this is so weird to say, but I do think he's kind of like career obsessed, where like I think that he got with Britney because I think it was like his publicist was like, or you know, he wanted
to like settle down, and she's like, she's like a small town girl who likes to drink.
Yeah, and then I think he wanted like to be able to leave or party or whatever without looking like the bad guy. Right. So he was like, I'm really going to throw her under the bus like for her drinking or whatever first season. And it totally.
And you see that even more in this season. It did backfire. But two things. You see more in this season where she's like, well, you were texting this guy. And she's like.
The gaslighting is so.
And then he's like.
It's like even for Jax, it's like, this is a lot.
It's so pathetic.
Yeah, like he explains to us that he and Britney were messing with the idea of her coming back home. And then he looked at her iPad and she was talking to his friend Julian. There was like a sexed video, like apparently they had been hooking up. And then Britney explains, we see her commiserating with Michelle, and she says that he got so mad that he flipped out, was screaming. He flipped the coffee table over and it hit her in the knee. So he's like, he's been having violent outbursts of jealousy and rage, despite the fact they're separated.
Right.
Yes.
Their whole relationship. Every relationship he's ever been in. It's all really fucked up. I mean, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of not great about this. I think the worst, well, one of the worst things is Jax refusing to leave the house. And like,
oh my gosh, which she's
where Britney had to be uprooted and their son had to be uprooted. Like, that's so hard to do for a kid of his age, no matter like what's going on. Like,
yeah,
I can't believe he didn't leave the house.
Yeah.
He gave up custody, but refused to leave the house. So Cruz and Brittany had to leave the house. Like,
from Airbnb to Airbnb.
Like when she'd run out of like a short term rental, like she just they had to move around multiple times. Like,
yeah.
I hate to say the A word, but especially if they're autistic, like it changes so hard. Yeah, it's.
And what is, I guess, a little redeeming in this episode is like he starts the episode and he's really not, I feel like, taking Cruz into account at all. He's like, she's crazy. If she thinks after I read those messages, I'm going to let her and my special needs toddler move back in the house.
Any
guy would act like this. What are you talking about? But towards the end, I think he starts to get, I think more than like caring, it's like he really starts to get like, oh, wow, this is becoming like irredeemable where like I'm going to lose my job. Yes.
He's definitely using him as a bargaining chip. Yes. And sometimes I do.
I think he loves him.
He loves his son. I think he does.
Yeah.
I think that Jax, he's talked about it. He's struggled with addiction for 20 years. And we saw it on VPR.
How did they do it?
20 years to be doing cocaine. Like, to be doing cocaine through the age of 45 is like, you can see it on his wedding day. Like, there's a scene.
Well, I get on your wedding, you know. Just
well, yeah, they got married in a castle. It's a fairy tale.
What is a castle without cocaine?
It's in Versailles, Kentucky. But yeah, there's like a scene where he's like, you can see like kind of like chopping a line. Like it's right before he walks down the aisle. It's kind of insane. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, double trouble.
Well, Britney's moved out of the house. He can't have Mama's beer cheese anymore.
Well, he can't live with anyone because he probably has crazy diarrhea from all that Ozempic and cocaine.
Ozempic cocaine and alcohol. And then, and then all of his steroids. God, it's like crazy. This guy hasn't combusted so many times. Oh my God. Yeah, no. But what I need is I need a Tabitha takes over type of situation for Jax, but I need it to be Stassi Schroeder coming into his house in the valley and dumping out his cocaine, dumping out his steroids, protein powder, then kicking him out of the house and letting Brittany and their son back in the house. I need a Stassi takes over.
There is a new career for like a renaissance for Stassi on reality TV. It is like, you know, kind of like a mean
being
super
mean
nanny.
To people and telling people what they're doing wrong in their home and in their life. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Although I want to circle back. I do kind of disagree on, I kind of think Jax is going to be like Keith Richards, where it's like he's going to be
like. Oh, he lives forever.
Yeah. I kind of think so.
My sister is a doctor and she said like drug addicts and alcoholics are like so resilient. Like people are always like amazed how like they can really bounce back.
Yeah. Like if Jason Caperna and Jax both got hit by a car, then Jax would live because of A, the amount of drugs that were in his body would make him go limp.
Right.
And B, his body's gone through so much trauma already. Yeah. It's like
we haven't even talked about all of his emotional trauma. Oh my God. And everyone was talking about it this episode. That was the other thing. I was like, I have never watched a show on Bravo where this many people are concerned about another person not being able to self-regulate their emotions. The whole time.
Yeah. Everyone's acting like this is like the things have come to a head. It's because
they're like pushing 50 at this point. Like it's time to like stop snorting.
Oh my
drugs.
God. So I watched this with my fiance and they kept being like, grow up. You're 45, Jax. You're fucking 45. And my fiance is 45. And he was like, it's not a bad age. He felt so attacked.
It's a bad age to be doing that to your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that really, this is kind of dark, but I kind of think the difference is Brittany's telling people about the shit he does now. I kind of think that's the main difference.
You know what? But yeah. I don't blame her. He's put her through so much shit. And he's put his son through so much shit. And I'm not saying that he doesn't love his kid, but like the decisions that, and like the stuff that they have talked about publicly is really fucked up. I can't even, you know, like privately, it's much, much, much worse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's even, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
He wanted him to be teardrop. That's what he said. And that's what he said.
Yeah. The doctor was like, don't do it.
I want him. If I'm going to be paying for him, I want him how I want him. My God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, you know what would be a great idea? Great big tits, so big and hard, you know, like coming out of your body.
That's not all he stole. Remember when he got a felony?
Oh, yeah. He stole sunglasses.
I just walked out there. Yeah.
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 But here's the thing. I don't really think it's that. I think it's like she felt like she didn't have a place on the show without him. And like, I think the cast a lot of the time were like, that's why they'd be like, you're so sweet.
You can be without him. Yeah.
You can still work here. But she, yeah. Yes.
Right. Okay. Sidebar, Lauren and I have been watching Summer House. We've covered every season of Summer House on this show. We could not remember Amanda. We were with like another pod, Oliver Sims. We were with Oliver Sims at dinner and we were talking about Summer House and he was like, name this one girl in Summer House. We could not remember Amanda's name. We named every cast members that were never even on the show. Like we said, Maya. Heather. I mean, we could not remember Amanda Bettula. Not fun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. She thinks that he's going to be down to leave the show someday. She's like, I think that's what she thinks, that he's like, okay, well, it'll never happen. He'll never leave the show. He's kind of like, they're kind of all the same, these 45-year-old Bravo guys. It's like, they want to be on reality TV forever. They don't want responsibility. They want to keep doing drugs. And I'm like, how does drugs not suck for you in your, like, how does that not, they not hurt?
Right.
You know? It's crazy to me, but we totally agree.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's understandable. Right. But then it's like, well, like he can't do anything else. Like, I don't think that hockey team is still going to let him do social media.
Yeah.
That minor league hockey team, I don't think is going to be having him do any tweets anytime soon. Insane.
He's a pro. If nothing else, he's a pro.
He's a pro and he gets out of rehab and does an interview with our least favorite guy in the group, Alex Baskin, and says, I don't really have a drinking problem, but it's more of a cocaine problem, but I can't drink. Yeah. Yeah. He had to.
Awesome. I think he's an asset to them, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like,
oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. He's such a pro.
But he is such a pro that even in this episode, when he's having like a nervous breakdown and being exposed for being like an abusive husband on camera who can't be alone with his son, he still knows to throw a rival party to Britney's white party, because that's the crux of great reality TV. Like he really is. I do get why they value his experience, you know,
right.
Like that's training. Like that's.
Yeah, that's like, it's like, yeah, he's highly trained. He's like, if reality stars came out of Juilliard, that's Jaxyard. This is what I need to talk about.
It was just him and Schwartz.
Okay, the thing is, we need to talk about these parties. Like, I think the white party, listen, I won't give Kyle Richards credit for fucking anything in this world, but I will say her white party always looked pretty fun. But yeah, so then Britney has a white party, but it's just like five of her friends who happen to be wearing white. just at a bar, not doing anything.
Yeah, no fat burger truck. Like,
no. Yeah, I mean, Taylor Armstrong's not walking in crazy-eyed. It's awful.
And that's a little bit, I get she's distracted. Maybe she's off her game, but it's like, you know, you got to know by now, we don't want another white party and we don't want another flapper party. These are kind of like so passé in the Bravo world.
And then we think like, this is a really kind of shitty party.
She broke down. Okay.
Okay. And then we go to Jax's party and then it's actually.
Well, let's wait. First, let's acknowledge that she has dropped
She has left. Yeah. Okay. I think we really started to lose her when we were like, listen, we like Jesse and I'm doing a monologue on autism.
Okay. It all honestly is maybe for the best because I have a lot to say in defense of Jesse in this episode.
You know that I'm we're Jesse's girls.
We are. I mean, we're Jesse's girls. And the thing is, it's like, you know, my fiance, it's like he had, we find out this episode that Kristen and Jesse, they become friends again, even though they battled last season because they have a mutual enemy in Jesse's co-parent and ex-wife, Michelle. And Jesse basically says on camera, totally flames Michelle and says she's lying when she says that she met her new boyfriend later. It was the guy she was fucking the whole time. Like the whole last year we were married.
Yeah.
Everything you said was true. I shouldn't have been mean to you. She's a whore.
Right. Right. And then later we're going to talk about like the previews, but let's get through this episode before one of us breaks down. That's just how we end podcasts here.
Yeah. So we get that. And that was Dodie justified on the bingo card. By the way, did not get a bingo this episode, but got more than half of my squares covered.
We love
Check out our bingo card on Instagram. Anyway, right. So then Janet and Brittany, they go to this. Oh, yeah. I wish Ellery was still on so I could flame her a little for this.
Oh, my God. She came back. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
We came back.
Good. It's like I summoned you because we were talking about the part where Janet and Brittany go to like the nursery in LA that's like in an old bank vestibule, like where it's like there's no space. It's so fucking claustrophobic.
I actually know exactly where that is too. And you make a little $65 terrarium.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So you need to go do a selfie there and that's a picture we're going to use for promo. Yeah.
You can make it a thing. Like, it's like the best fish taco wall of reality TV podcasts.
Yeah. Or you'd be like,
a comedy deep cut.
Yeah. Well, my LA comedian, LA open micers know. That one's for you guys. But yeah, like, nurseries generally, I feel like are, you know, you have them outdoor. They're adjoined to a Home Depot. You can walk through. And this is like, they're having to like.
Right.
Pull through.
It's like it's a quest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Jax is calling Brittany obsessively while she's talking with Janet. Yeah. And that's like.
I feel like that was a real glimpse into their relationship. That probably happens all
the
time.
He loves her.
Yeah, right.
What a night. That like truly is like a hell no woman deserves is Jax Taylor obsessively texting and calling you to scream at you.
Can you imagine like a coked out guy on
steroids? I absolutely can imagine.
Just not stopping.
Yeah. I can only imagine a drunk one doing that.
Yeah, literally. I had an ex-boyfriend who was like cokehead and alcoholic. That scene triggered me so bad. I was like, I bet.
Something, having to listen to someone on coke yelling at you is an abuse that I haven't experienced and not a flavor that I envy. Especially Jax.
I mean, of all people.
I mean, God, you know what? It makes me wonder if things would have turned out differently had it worked out with the Reiki girl.
Oh my God, the only person who ever called him Jason.
Call me Jason. Call me by my name.
While he was dating Brittany.
Yeah. Oh my, okay. Sorry. Pop culture memory. But okay.
So Raven. So Raven.
So Raven. When Brittany takes him to Mexico for his birthday and all of his friends are there. I mean, it was a cast trip, but like he's on the balcony and he's like, I need to call the Reiki girl.
She
would be like, she just centers me and she just calms me in no way that no one could ever, like he would kick Brittany out of the house so he could have like a FaceTime call
It's such proof how much he needs therapy that every time he goes to therapy for one episode for television, he falls in love with a therapist. Yeah.
Immediately. Oh my God, do you remember when he would wear the glasses to his therapist, the fake glasses?
Yeah. But like it still had the sticker on them.
Yeah, it was like his Clark Kent, like, personality, like his fantasy of, like, you know, yeah. I'm a different guy who works for a hockey team and is in love with my therapist.
Right.
But right. He'll always be Jax.
He'll always be Jax.
So then we see, split second scene of Jasmine. They edited that puppy down to like two words.
Yeah, like 1 second. It was her.
I like Jasmine. Can we get Jasmine her?
Too, they don't like her.
They don't like her.
Said, yeah. I think that they do. I just really think there's so much shit going on. You know,
yeah,
like,
that's real.
You know, she would be like the biggest star if she was on Beverly Hills because she does stuff.
Exactly.
But like everyone Hills, else is doing like, so much.
The quote unquote problem with Jasmine is that her life's really figured out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah. like, you know, because she was like electric on The Bachelor, I have
she's
heard.
Great.
Like
lesbian. Like, we need her more, like, just to break up some of the fucked up stuff going on.
Yeah.
I think that might be, that's sort of what they're teeing up is like her storyline will be sort of a balm to like all the other crazy stuff that's going on.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She'll be kind of like the like, stabilizer.
Yeah. She'll be like, I'm filing bankruptcy. And they're like, God, but you really have it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still, by comparison, she would be the normal one. I'm really interested to see where she falls because we see this episode. We've got Zach, Nia, and Kristen meeting up and like talking about how Jana is trying to edge Zach out and like and try to make Zach and Brittany not be friends and stuff. So it really seems like a group is forming that's like Kristen or Kristen, Zach, and then Nia is and then Jesse. Jesse is weirdly team Kristen. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the Brittany and then Janet and then Michelle group. And then we've kind of got like Nia as a floater. And I'm like, I wonder where Jasmine will end up. Yeah. If she'll be a floater.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Nia, Jason is her husband's name?
We still don't know.
Danny.
Yeah, Danny
that
boy.
That stuff is strange because I'm like, they seem like a happy couple, but they're not really.
We kind of see like glimpses of that this episode where she's
and then
like,
she wants
well,
to
I'm not
another,
pregnant,
she wants to
but
have four kids.
Yeah, she's like, my body's ugly, so we might as well just have another kid while it's ugly and I have time to bounce back. And he's like, What? Like, they have, like, three kids under the age of three, which is actually
kind of
fucked up.
Three
kids I love that she was honest.
Absolutely fucked up. But I do get, like, you know, you don't want to put in all that work and then get pregnant again and just have to, like, start from ground zero. So she's like, let's do it now.
Yeah.
She
wants, it
but
is ground zero.
Four kids is, like, how could they possibly afford that?
Well, because they're still, like, he's not wrong in saying, like, you just had a kid and we're still in a condo.
One of his kids doesn't have a room.
Yeah, and he's like, we should buy a house and a place that we can afford a house where we can get a big house to, like, have four kids. And she's like,
Santa Clarita, not that far away.
Not far. It's, like, not that far away.
I thought it was, I didn't know anything was wrong
it's
with
like
it.
It's, like, an hour and a half. There's nothing wrong with it.
There's, I mean, it's, like, Republican, but, like, they're
Republican.
Yeah.
But so are like, they.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, everyone's a Republican now.
No.
I mean, not everyone. I'm just saying people are, like, we don't have to pretend we're Democrat. I am not a Republican.
Yeah, no, yeah. I would actually co-sign that. And also, I'm like, those groups of people have always been Republican.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I kind of think. Or never voted. Either she has some kind of, like, addiction to having kids and she's, like, hitting a rock bottom and Tom Schwartz needs to see her, or I think they've kind of talked about it and they're kind of soft launching. I kind of get a Quiverful vibe. I kind of get, like, when the show's over, we'll move to a farm and we'll have all the kids and I'll be an
influencer.
I
get, like, ballerina farm vibes from her.
Yeah.
Yes. That's kind of what I feel like the plan is.
But
I
do
also see
worry.
A possibility where it's, like, if their relationship isn't working, she's like, well, let's have another baby because that feels really good and like we know that we're good at that and like maybe that'll bring us closer together and you'll have to focus on me and not be out drinking and touching girls' butts because like I'm home pregnant.
Yeah,
but
that
also,
is what
like,
they're alluding
she have,
to
she had
happens.
Postpartum like I just feel like which you know it happens postpartum is difficult but I'm just like I wish she would take a beat but I know that
oh my
she's
God,
pregnant.
I don't think that she should have another kid at all. I'm like four
well
is
she is
too many
she's having
it's,
a kid
yeah. is she pregnant
yeah
right
she's
now?
Pregnant she's
she
pregnant
is
pregnant right now yeah
yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations to Jason and Danny and his wife.
That's what I'm saying, guys. This season is so, it's so dark. Like,
I know.
It's
really dark.
Actually, okay.
Really, really, really irresponsible.
I'm going to call Danny Justin Bobby so I remember his name.
He is so Justin Bobby.
He's Justin Bobby. I wish, you know, because like Danny is, he does like voice work. Like he does voices. Like, I want him to just do a Justin Bobby.
Is he a voiceover artist? Is that his?
Yeah.
And to his credit, he doesn't do voices on the show. Which, like, that's
I agree with that. What is he in? Yeah. Do you guys
have video games and like anime? Like, I think he makes pretty good.
Oh my God, you can make great money that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've auditioned 1,000 times, never landed anything.
Same. Wow. I you know, never get like character.
Right.
Work
and I've never
like
been asked.
It's very competitive, you know?
It's very competitive. And now there are fewer than ever there are voiceover actors. Now they just hire out like A-list actors.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wait. That reminds me of my oral exam.
Even for commercials.
Justin Bobby.
It's crazy. We need to shame celebrities for taking
advertisements. Like Amy Poehler's doing the Subway commercials. It's like, what's
going on? Sellout. We need to start publicly shaming them. Remember when they had to go to Japan to film a commercial?
Yeah, and it was like, you were like, I would never admit that I would ever do a commercial.
The idea of a sellout doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Right. But we need to make it happen again.
We should bring it back.
We need to shame people publicly for making money.
We do. Yeah. Well, when they're taking
it away from other people.
There are no working class actors anymore.
No.
Right.
Yeah, it's like all... Which is why so many people turn
to reality TV.
Which I am grateful
for. God love
for.
Them. Okay, maybe we're back in the episode. Jason cut so much of that about like inside Hollywood and voice acting.
I mean, listen, that's what people love.
Yeah, people want to. They want to hear about the real La La Land.
Was about actors at some point.
Ellery, okay, do you agree, another sidebar, sort of, do you agree that Jax Taylor is a Buster Keaton type? Because that's what Lauren and I have always said on our show, but no one ever believes, no one talks about it.
Okay, wait, can I say what I think you guys mean and then you guys can tell me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's like the outlandish character who does like almost physical comedy.
And drunk.
Yeah.
He's a comedian.
It's interesting because it's like, I see how you made that leap, but I would never in a million years.
Yeah.
I don't disagree, but it's such a apt cultural observation.
Right.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Most people don't know who that person is.
This podcast is exclusively for, I don't know if you watch Drag Race, but Susie Toots. It's just the Susie Toot podcast, and we only use references that she'll understand. And
that's really
LA
funny.
Comedians.
Yeah. We've talked about On Golden Pond a few times.
Yeah. We got to get into Janet and Kristen's conversation because I want to dig a little deeper here.
I don't like Janet either.
I really don't
like
Janet.
No one does. And it's like she got so much hate too.
I've also heard from people who dated her before her current boyfriend that she's always been like kind of status reality TV hungry.
Yes.
That's what I've... Oh, wow. So you've got, like, the receipt.
Like a friend of a friend kind of thing.
I mean, yeah. Janice also said it. She's like, I got pregnant the night of Scandoval. I was like, what?
What?
She's like, sorry, I had to... Yeah, she was like, I hate to make Scandoval about me, but I went over there to comfort Ariana the night that it broke, but then my alarm went off on my phone. I was ovulating, so I had to go, and that was the night I got pregnant. It's like,
yeah, I mean, that's a little frustrating to hear. I mean, it does like echo most people's kind of theory on her. But it's like, you know, when I see this scene of her admitting that she accused Kristen and Luke of like wanting her to miscarry when they didn't do that at all.
That was absolutely crazy.
It's so crazy. And then she's not really giving a full apology. And she's being like, but Zach did do that. And Kristen's like, no, he didn't. And then
there was no receipts because if that had happened, Bravo would provide receipts for it.
It didn't.
Right.
But it didn't.
Yeah. It's like the Bravo, she's taking it out of context that Janet was like the whole time being like, I can't talk about this. I'm pregnant. You can't talk about this part of my life because I'm pregnant. Da, 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 I'm pregnant. And finally they were like, but Zach, don't you understand? She's pregnant. Like you have to let her treat you this way. You can't say anything because she could miscarry. And he was like,
oh my God,
I don't give a shit. You know, that's not saying like,
I hope your baby's born dead.
That baby dies.
My God.
To Kristen being like, is there anything you would like to apologize for?
Right.
Yes.
But I mean, she cannot hold it. I mean, this is Kristen Doty we're talking about.
Yes.
She cannot.
Damn it, Janet. I'm going to throw popcorn at her.
Yeah, like Kristen was very triumphant.
The fact that like Kristen is like the most sane person on the show,
so
and she's
crazy.
Literally the show opens with her being like her and Luke talking about trying and again I, for a baby. And she's like,
fine.
Yeah, she's like, yeah. She's like, in the 70s, they were like chain smoking all the time and drinking. Like, she's like, he's like, maybe you shouldn't like drink or smoke. And she's like, you know what? Never change, Kristen. We yeah. were, we I was were like, gaslighted for changed. Years about her. And she's actually.
No, Kristen.
She's a Lucille Ball type. What she do you think of that? Like, she can fall that, like nobody. That, the Pratt that falls one, with that girl? Come on.
That one hits even closer where I'm like, she is Lucille Ball type.
She's Lucille Ball. She the is. Smoking, especially.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. She's zany. It's like
she's clowning. The young yeah. Yeah. The yeah.
And she's.
Manager.
And she's. Always been more talented than the man that she's with in a relationship.
Oh my God. Do you remember Carter?
Ugh.
What a Carter. Way to waste 5 years.
Ugh. Yeah. Although I think it was unfair of Stassi and Katie to dump her as a friend because they yeah. like took too long to break up. I was like, okay. But that brings me back to what I think is happening with Janet, which is like kind of disappointingly like basic. I think she's just trying to be Stassi. Like, it's not yes, that she wants to be the villain. She wants to be Stassi.
See,
I
it's like
thought about it like that, but I think that that's dead on.
She's totally a dead ass. Yeah, she's somehow like trying harder than Lala to be Stassi, and she's somehow even more annoying than Lala.
So
yeah.
Are Lala and Sheena friends of?
They're friends up. I think friends. They're kind of bringing them in. I think like this whole, a lot Slowly. Of the season is going to be damage control around Jax. Yes. And I think that's how Schwartz, Sheena, and Lala will kind of like be Old brought God. In as like, he was never this bad. He's this bad because of cocaine. He's going to get sober from cocaine and everything will be okay.
Yeah, you know, well, and also because he's like there. Off of the show for a while because he is in rehab. So they're like, we probably need to get yeah. some old guard in here. And you know that like, Sheena's been banging on every door in the valley.
Sheena will be great on the show. Yeah, I'm sorry.
But, gonna knock but it down.
Sheena is such a, like, she's the real, she's an actual deal. Star to me. Like yeah. she's, if I ever saw Sheena, I would just like, I would be so starstruck by her.
The Sally Field of reality TV.
She is.
No, she's
And
not.
I do like you. I really like
no,
you.
No, she's not.
She's Sally Field if Sally Field had a gray tooth.
Did you see that she got a tattoo after her Masked Singer experience?
Oh my gosh.
My God. No, because actually, I don't even know why we would gasp. Actually, that's so Sheena.
What was it's she like so a bad?
Sheena. That's so Sheena.
She got a bad tattoo.
That could be our, we could have a like another podcast called That's So, that's Sheena, so Sheena and just watch oh different Sheena clips.
I'm gonna
and it's get always one. So Sheena. Shenanigans.
Oh my God.
Shenanigans.
No, I'm gonna get a grade tooth. No, I'm gonna get Madison Marie Parks Valletta.
It's all happening.
It's all happening.
It's all happening.
I love it. Yeah, I'm really excited for her to come. And honestly, I'm
see her on TV.
I'm kind of excited for Lala to come because I really feel like she and Jesse are kind of meant to be together.
Oh yeah, you've been shipping them for a while.
I really do. They're both.
You've been
just,
shipping that for a while.
They're both. Yes, I just feel
Wait,
it.
I had a feeling.
Awful, aggressive. Like, I just think they'd fuck like monsters. I just think it's meant to be. It's kismet.
No, I think it's serendipity. Should be with somebody else, but I don't know who it is. But I'm gonna remember who I think it should
well,
be.
Well, I'm excited to meet his like new girlfriend who was apparently a failed, like tried,
she
to, be
tried
a
to be on OC.
Of OC. And apparently I him talking about her, God, he's such a piece of shit where he's like
he's such a piece of shit.
She actually stands up to me. Not like Michelle would just let me treat her like
Wait,
shit.
Right.
Literally I thought the same thing watching this where he's like, Michelle would just let me act anyway and then be mad right. after I did it. And this girl actually like stops me from doing it. I'm like, kill yourself, Jesse.
Yes, that's it's so
It's so
And I was
shitty.
Like, put that on my gravestone. I love a bad boy.
But oh I gotta God. Say, when that confrontation happens, when it's like the new boyfriend and Jesse and Michelle at the white party, and then Michelle and the new boyfriend are like, well, I, you know, it's like, I feel like a little bit of a staged parental confrontation where Michelle's like, well, I think Isabella, our daughter, you know, like she wants everything because of you, because you give her too much stuff and you're too like materialistic. And Jesse's like, well, I don't know about that. Like, I'm not too materialistic. And the new boyfriend is like, no, you just give her everything, dude. I was like, whoa, guy.
I do agree with him. I'm like,
what is he? He's a, is
he?
Yeah.
Is he a podcaster? Her boyfriend? Well, I don't remember what he did.
I thought it was a no. He's not a director. I thought he was in the industry somehow.
Yeah, I think he's an actor. Yeah, but I mean, obviously, he's doing his job as a reality TV person weighing in. But in terms of like, you know. Trying to be the new dad? No.
Fuck off, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fuck off, dude. Yeah,
yeah fuck off, dude.
I hate to agree with Jesse on anything.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just gotta let it happen.
Sometimes you gotta.
Sometimes you
gotta
yeah. happen.
When you got offline for a couple minutes, we started singing Jesse's Girl.
Because we were like,
Jesse's Girl.
I bet he probably says that to his daughter all the time.
He's like, oh, daughter of mine, you're the one who made me realize that women are people too. Oh, you're Jesse's girl. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It changed everything. So then also it's crazy. The sleeping of the with the enemy like music that plays, like the American Psycho montage of Jesse being like, he's all pissed off because of like the boyfriend. And then he goes up to Michelle and he's like, well, what if I, you know, you
what if
like,
I took her to County? Meeting?
What if I want to move to Newport? My business would thrive there.
Right. Yeah. Like, I know I could be successful business? In Orange County.
What is his business? What does he do?
He's a real estate.
But now reality TV. Yeah, I mean, let's face it. He is amazing at it. He's going to be on it till the day that he dies.
He's such a pro. He's
really good.
You know what? Like the second I saw this guy on screen, like
he's
the first
so smarmy.
I was like, where have you been? Like how?
He's so
and he's
smarmy.
Like he's been friends with this group of people. Like he's known Jax for years. Like I cannot believe he hasn't been on TV before.
It's like they invented a new kind of Jax. Like he was grown in the same lab as Jax.
Yes, right. He's absolutely grown in the same lab. And that's why when they're like last season, when they were each talking to each other about their relationships. I'm like, this is the blind leading the blind.
Yeah. Jesse.
It's like
two
dumb bitches telling each other exactly.
Yeah. I feel like Jesse is like Jax, but he got the good coke.
Yes.
100%. Yeah. And Jax got the life running coke.
Right. He's Buster Keaton.
Yeah.
Because Jesse doesn't do the physical comedy work as well as Jax.
Yes. Agreed. Right. He almost does no comedy work.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Nothing. Like he's just very.
But you know, it's like the best. Sometimes it's those dramatic actors who are even funnier.
He can cut you down and say just the most heinous things about the mother of his child.
Oh my God! Insane.
Okay, like last season when they had that Capri party, just even the fact that he says Capri and not Capri, that amazing dinner party, and he's screaming and he's like to Chris, he's like, "Let Michelle speak," and as soon as she starts talking, he covers her like mouth and saying, "Shut the fuck up."
Yeah, and he's like, "Let her talk. Shut the fuck," saying to her.
But that's him in a nutshell. That's him totally in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Do you remember last season when he came? He was like, "I went. I did psychedelics for 4 days, and I'm a healed man."
And he wore a beanie as a costume.
I have been shaking. I've been having like the literal shakes because there hasn't been good Bravo since Salt Lake got off the air. Like I finally feel.
Yeah, it's very exciting. That is so Jax. The same way when Jax was a new man, he put the glasses on.
Still with the price tag. Still with the price tag, yeah.
But that's because I think that's like probably representative of how they, because I think reality TV flattens the people that are on it. Like, I don't know that it should be allowed to exist, but it does, and I love it. But like, the way that it flattens people is that they really do think of themselves as like, oh, with this one thing, I can change. And the thing is glasses or a beanie, being like, I'm a new person now, and here's my new person signifier.
Right.
Like Tom Schwartz, Sandoval has a braid.
Yes. It's like doing a character audition for like JFL. Yes. It's like you put on your accessory and now I'm someone new.
The audience believes.
Yeah. So the end of the episode, we get into, first we get Kristen saying, last summer was bad, but I never thought this summer would be worse, which is
a really horror
movie.
Yeah.
I'm foaming at the mouth.
Yeah,
let's not
give Kristen like boring things to say. Just let her say whatever she wants and it'll be
exposition.
So much better. Exactly. Yeah. She's not a natural storyteller this way.
No, she'll fill it in. She'll fill in the details.
Yeah.
And so it really seems to be insinuating next time. I mean, we know that things are going to get like really bad with Jax, but also it seems to be insinuating that Danny has assaulted people.
It seemed like soft assault, though.
Soft
it seems
assault.
Like,
you think
it
like grabbing
like legs. Butt grabs. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not appropriate, but not punishable by death.
Okay. Because after you said that earlier, I was like, I think I remember hearing that, maybe.
I think it was in the trailer. And it was also in the rest of the season preview that we saw at the end of this episode.
What? The grabbing butts specifically?
They're all at the dinner table and you can't see who, Anaya, is that her name?
Naya.
You can't see who she's yelling at, but like you hear the audio and they're like, at least my husband doesn't go around grabbing butts.
Right. Who was that? Ashley Darby's husband on Potomac.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she's talking to Ashley Darby.
Michael?
Wait,
Michael.
Psycho. Wait, Naya? It's Naya's voice, though?
No, it's not Naya's voice. It's somebody at the table's voice, but Naya's reacting to it.
Okay, I see.
It's like they're all at a Mexican restaurant and she blows up.
Grabbing. Okay, well, that actually is a huge relief because I really thought that we were going to get.
I think that Sadie's been going out without his wedding ring on and then grabbing people's butts.
That's just some good old fashioned 90s assault.
In a way, it is kind of like vintage. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It is vintage.
It's like, it's something that's happened to me that I haven't had PTSD over. So I'm like, okay, it's a step down from what
it's a step down.
It could be. Yeah, it's actually a huge. Okay, well, now I'm not worried about the season at all. I think it's going to be fine.
That would be so crazy. Oh my God, that would be so crazy.
Yeah.
But like, still, you have three kids and your husband's going around without his wedding ring and like.
And grabbing butt.
Grabbing people, yeah. And also, it was alluded that he was, like, going in.
He needs to let off steam.
Yeah, I mean, he does want to escape probably his, like, two-bedroom apartment. Crawling.
Yeah, two-bedroom apartment with three kids under the age of three. Like,
no daycare, no nanny.
Like, maybe, like, probably none of them are potty trained completely because they're just so young.
Yeah. That's fucking
changing
crazy.
All those diapers, all that poop. And your wife is pregnant again. Like, that's a lot to deal with.
It's like he kind of has to deliver. Otherwise, they're just kind of like sad and
what are you doing here? Yeah, exactly.
He kind
I agree.
Of has to do it.
They really need a storyline.
Yeah. Right. This is him stepping up.
And that's I don't think that she's going to do anything crazy. That is probably.
That's right. Probably why he did it.
He's like, because we're talking about it, baby.
Yeah. She's like, you go out there and you grab. And he's like,
butt.
But I only want to
grab. He's a Hollywood pro. We don't even see his face for years, but this guy's a Hollywood pro and he knows exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm. Keep him in.
He knows exactly what he's doing and it's not good.
It's not good. Also, this
will
is
buy them another year.
It'll buy them another year, especially because this year it seems like ratings are going to be crazy with this Jack stuff. God. And there's not room for everyone in this cast at this point with Lala, Sheena, Tom.
That's actually what I'm thinking where I'm like, it felt too big, even in the first episode where I'm like, okay, we're not going to get around to all these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of always been like that, which I kind of like. It reminds me of like a Robert Altman film where it's just like kind of pieces of things
without
explanation.
Yeah, it's very Gosford Park. When I watch The Valley, I feel Gosford Park.
Yes, it is. It's like the mystery of like, what will eventually send Jax to, treatment, But yeah, I do like how packed it is, but it's like, oh, we are like, missing so much stuff on the cutting room floor, I'm sure. And it's just like a lot to juggle. And I put Sheena in there,
I want to see Sheena. I would love to see an episode where she's like waiting tables.
Have her work at Jax. She looks like all the bartenders.
Have her
work
at Jax's. Yeah,
we right. Yeah. Let her be the host.
They called the health inspector because he was changing a diaper on the bar.
Right.
Yes.
But sometimes you just gotta change this fucking diaper.
So true. Take it out to the parking lot.
It's like not. It's not the worst thing that's ever happened on any of those tables. Yeah. And now we said it.
And it's like, Jax doesn't actually own or isn't the manager. He's a customer whose name they're using.
They
license his image.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
But it's crazy. It must be doing well that pop-up is still in that bar,
Did you see the shady thing they did at the premiere party when it was at Jax's? So they had, someone took a picture of, the menu and they had crossed off
Mama's beer cheese. Yeah.
This guy can't get any fucking lower.
So petty. And then we see next episode.
Yeah.
Because, Mama is still
yeah, don't take this out on Mama.
It's Cruz's great grandmother.
Yeah. What has Mama done?
Mama didn't do shit. She made beer cheese.
Mama didn't, send a sext to Julian, and it is so fun. I do like that how everyone weighs. We've never seen
friends.
Julian. Yeah, all of their friends are like, well, Jax was best friends with Julian, who we've never seen, never
I
heard of
saw
before.
Him on Vanderpump, maybe.
Did we really?
I thought maybe with the Lala one.
Oh
with
my God.
Lala.
It's
Let me
hard
see.
To know.
Julian.
But, yeah,
was
but
she,
then.
Was it when she still had big hoops?
No. It's after her and Randall split.
Julian Sensley.
I thought. But maybe not.
Although there are a lot of guys who look alike who I've seen on. Oh no, this guy. Okay. Yeah. He looks kind of Vin Diesel-esque.
Okay, interesting.
I mean,
it was also
hot.
Watching everybody in the show be like, well, how Jax likes to overblow things, but they were friendly.
Yeah.
And by the way, let Franny just cut.
Let her get dick down. You don't even want to fuck her.
Jax is absolutely seeing other people. And some of the cast members said that too, where they were like, he's running through women. Why is he mad?
Everyone knows he's been so awful. It's like one season, it was the Brittany and Jax Kentucky horrible show, but he was just telling her family, like, she's just lost her sparkle. And he was just saying, like, because she had gained some weight. And he kept saying, like, she's just different. She's changed. She lost her spark.
Maybe it's because he cheated on her 5 times.
Or maybe it's because he has Coke dick all the time and can't do anything.
Can't have sex with her. God, I didn't know that. That's probably so real.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a Lothario.
Well, everybody knows, like, the big, like, you know, Reddit thing was that he was fucking his publicist and they found out on this, like, crazy
jazz
festival. Yeah.
I saw that.
Her name was, like, Lori or something.
Yeah.
Lori. And then Brittany unfollowed her.
Yeah, but I think she's still with Lori. Maybe.
Well, they got back to I think that they left the management thing. It was like a whole drama that happened on Instagram while Jax and Tom Sandoval were on tour with Lori for some reason, where they fucked in a bathroom publicly and it got posted.
And they went all to they were together.
Yes. And she ceased and desisted any mention of it off the internet. She shut down the sub. So that makes me think it is true. I wouldn't have thought it was
Absolutely true. Absolutely. That makes me think it's true. Also, classic publicist, just really getting after it.
Yeah. And good for her, honestly. That's what you really fucked up. You really did the opposite of your job, but then you really covered it up buying it off the internet.
Oh, right. Absolutely. That's what they're for.
That's what they're for. Yep.
That's what they're for.
Although, you know, it is a good storyline. This is it's not story. Like it's, Jax to hide.
I mean, that would be an amazing for the show.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe season 3, because, like, we actually, like, the show was so good last season, even though we just heard rumors about Michelle having an affair that she denied. And then, like, later...
It was with Quentin Tarantino, right?
It was with Quentin Tarantino because Michelle just came out, like, a few weeks ago saying, like, yeah, it was.
It was? Wait, yeah. I got it? Oh, my God. Everybody gave me so much shit. I did the first video and I was like, I think it's Quentin. Everyone was like, no, it's not.
Yeah, she talked about it and she was like, I don't know. He's such a goofy guy. He was interested in my real estate career.
I thought you were going to say feet.
I'm so sure. I bet he was.
Yeah.
He was, like, buying me drinks at Chateau Marmont. And we got along. We were looking at, you know,
so
videos.
Crazy.
I was like,
dude, only
fuck?
Old people go to Chateau Marmont. Only old people. It's like it's exclusively Gen Xers.
I want to go. Yeah. I just want to see the hollowed Lindsay Lohan halls.
I would go with you for brunch. It's so fun.
It is. What's fun about it? Is it that there's, like, Gen X celebrities there?
It's fun. There's not even Gen X celebrities. It's just Gen X people. But it's like, it's very campy. And it's like, you know, I read a lot of books from the 70s. And I'm like, oh, this is where it all used to happen.
Yeah.
The overdoses.
Yeah.
So many people died. So many ghosts.
John Belushi. All right.
Yeah. I felt so much better because people were like, no, Quentin Tarantino's in Israel and he's married and he
does
live in
Tel
Israel.
Aviv. Isn't that crazy?
That's.
Yeah, it is.
Him and Kevin Spacey.
Kevin's.
I'm sorry.
It's confusing.
Sorry,
Kevin Spacey. Who's the other Kevin director?
Kevin Smith.
I was like, when you said Kevin Spacey for a second, I was thinking Kevin Smith and I was like, the dude who directed Mallrats?
That's so funny.
But that would be crazy if the guy who directed Clerks was living in Tel Aviv right now.
Yes. No.
No.
Getting inspiration for Dogma 3.
Kevin Spacey makes sense where he's like, everyone's mad at me already.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? Yeah. Like, I might as well just be here.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, well, it's been an hour, so I don't want to keep you too much longer before your show. But at the end of the episode, we generally do this thing called oral exams, where it's like a 1-minute essay on a, like, pop culture topic of your choice that starts with, in this essay, I will prove. Do you want to do one with us before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Okay, wait, I'm going to look at my notes really quick because I did write something down.
Oh, great. Okay, awesome. And Michelle will do one, or I can do one first. We can do ours and you can have a little time.
Okay, I'll do one. I barely have an idea, but. Okay.
Okay, go for it. This is Michelle Baber's oral exam. Her time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove. We need to bring back Lauren Conrad. It's been a long time. Heidi's made a comeback. We don't really need Adrina. Kristen's kind of around. Kristen Cavallari is still around and putting out horrible information on health, but I feel like it's time. We need a boring girl energy that is somehow like the meanest person that you can imagine, but have a groundbreaking show centered around this person. and she's totally boring. I found out her husband is like a guy from like the band Something Corporate, but now he is an attorney and he is like the attorney for her, like Cole's like fashion line. I want to see that. I want to see that fucking reality show. And I want to see it. What I'm trying to do, one of her lines. I want to forgive you and I want to forget you. That's what I want to say after I watch the show. So time. Bring back Lauren Conrad.
Wow. America.
I think it's time.
Oh my God. Her husband is Something Corporate singer turned copyright.
Let me make sure this, like, I'm pretty sure it's Something Corporate. It's one of those like 90s, like,
he pop. Was Something Corporate and then he got into Something Corporate.
He's a lawyer.
That's
you guys.
That's actually
like
wild.
As we return to like office wear, like office cultural wear as a trend, mm-hmm. I see Lauren Conrad's stock going back up.
Listen, I feel like no one's been doing the cat eye since she left this, like the realm of like not in a good
but
way. Like she did
are
the
back.
Best. She I know
headbands. Yeah, her influence.
But she always had the best. She always had the best.
Well, meetings. I just think. People are so savvy. They'll never find a dupe like her again. You know, like she was kind of like every person
right.
where it was yeah. like, oh my gosh, reality TV was kind of being invented. And one of her friends was Spencer, another like blueprint, was kind of inventing
right.
what it is to be a villain. And she thought it was her life, but really
right.
she was kind of the Truman Show.
But she was like, yeah,
she
but
was kind
the
of
thing
the
is like, we all thought that she was like the good girl. But now going back, we realize
she's kind of
she
the
was
villain.
The villain the whole time. The whole time, the whole time.
I don't know about
the whole
that.
Time.
I think that, I mean, I
she
think
was
that,
the villain. Like all of, not she couldn't keep any friendships. Like no friendships. Adrina went away. Heidi went away. Beach still. Lauren, what the fuck? Oh, did you want to do? Okay,
this is my oral exam.
What just happened?
My time starts now. Sorry, I had to get a prop because in this essay, I will prove that I speaking of Lauren Conrad, get you a friend who, first of all, has the self-control to have Klonopin in her house for a year and not take any. And second of all, who, whenever she does take a Klonopin due to a panic attack or her period, she blacks out and she sends you the memoir of a reality TV icon. And this week, it was none other than Kristen Cavallari herself. Balancing in Heels, My Journey to Health, Happiness, and Making It All Work.
Right.
And it was addressed to Mr. Lauren Davis. Get your friend who will send you such a, so you can learn such things as the power of keeping track. There are a few ways I make working out fulfilling for myself. I set many goals. I eat before and after I work out. Sometimes before I work out, I have a snack like a protein shake or an apple with almond butter. Sometimes I eat it after.
Yeah. Okay.
Honestly,
so
really,
this is
really
not the first
refreshing.
Time I've done this
really
so many times.
Really refreshing that she didn't get a ghostwriter. That sounds like her.
Yeah, it does.
It's classic Kristen.
Balancing in Heels.
Have you seen that that video that's going around of her where she was like, this is something I learned in therapy that's actually very true. When you're upset with someone, like when you guys are talking, really only one person can be the talker and then the other
right.
person is the listener. And then you switch places and the other person talks and then you become the listener. I'm like, mm-hmm. so like, when
a
there's
conversation.
One talks and one listens.
Right. We love an educated queen.
Yeah, she really breaks it down.
Of all of the books that I've had sent to your house when I've been in a blackout because of my anxiety, what's been your favorite?
Actually, Audrina's I did really like, and I did really feel for her. She went through a lot with that.
I cannot believe you
first
read this.
Husband,
what was her book called?
I can't remember what it's called, but it reminded me of It Ends With Us, kind of.
Oh my God.
Or what I've heard It Ends With
Us.
Oh
my God, we need to get that movie done. Let's try to get the rights to that book.
Yeah, you should. I bet it's cheap.
Elroy, you could help us write it.
I would so write that for you.
Yeah, let us. We are going to do Adrina Patridge's. We're going to get the rights to that book.
And let's get a really controlling A-list actress.
Reese Witherspoon.
And litigious. Yeah, okay, Reese, yeah.
Because like
American citizen. Do you know who I am? She can,
oh my God, yeah. I think about her. She has the
that
best
voicemail.
DUI video ever.
Or that, yeah, DUI video. Okay. All right. So, Ellery Smith, are you ready for your oral exam?
I am.
Okay. This is Ellery's oral exam. Her time starts now.
Okay. In this essay, I will prove that microtrends are ruining culture. So, I think that because microtrends have made sort of stock personalities readily available to the masses, it dilutes everybody's ability to have an actual personality. And the instance that I'm pulling of this is that I went to Pilates this week and there were three girls wearing the exact same outfit. They were wearing a bright red, two-piece workout set, leggings and the bra part. And then they were each wearing the platform Uggs, and they each had a Cartier Forever bracelet and then ruffle white grip socks. And so because TikTok, Instagram, and Pinterest have made it like so easy to find looks or like niche personnel, like everybody now is an art hoe with like tiny, tiny glasses and a big ass handbag. So now anything that you do to have a personality basically doesn't mean anything unless it's crafted from inside your mind and not something you find online.
That is so true, especially when it comes to like everyone kind of has the same lexicon. Like now every time you like, you know, a cute girl, like someone's cute on TikTok, all of the comments underneath are, okay, so you're saying I'm ugly. It's like everyone making the same joke. But you know, a good way to avoid that is being an old fart.
Right. And going to the Chateau Marmont.
I totally agree. Being an old fart, getting offline and like reading lots of books, I think is the perfect way.
Reading books, I don't do that, but I will go to the Chateau.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, you can borrow, you are welcome to borrow anytime once I'm done with it.
But like even reading those books, I'm like, that's more of a personality than anybody on TikTok could ever come up with.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah.
Which is why we're not big on TikTok.
There's an edge to being a specific person. And I think like the internet is flattening that out. It used to be that like you went to the internet to be a specific person because there were like lots of subgroups and like high expert rates. But now because the internet is like so decentralized and like everybody's on the same spaces, now it like flattens the edge that is inherent in your specific personality. And you have to fight to protect.
Right.
This could be a thesis. Like, right. This is so, actually like, very...
So what was LC's excuse?
Okay, but here's the thing. Being a flat person. She was the blueprint of the flat person.
She was the blueprint. She was the first basic bitch.
She was the first basic bitch. Like, she really was.
Oh, my God. I want to forgive you, and I want to forget you.
Yeah. Wow. That's profound.
Wow. Wow, LC, wow.
Ellery Smith, a literal scholar.
Right.
Of culture. She's also a Bravo fan, and she's also a comedian who's about to go do a show. And where can we check you out online and coming up?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Ellery_Smith. I post all of my shows and upcoming sets, and I'll be all around LA, and then I'm kind of coming to the East Coast in like 2 weeks. I'll be doing a bunch of New York shows.
Ooh, fun. New York in the spring.
New York in the spring.
We makes me want to buy a school surprise.
Yes.
And on that note, we will let you get to your show. Where is your show?
It's like maybe 10 minutes away from here. It's in Venice at the Townhouse.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's cool.
You're doing a stand-up
venue.
You're doing a stand-up.
I'm doing one of my damn skits. That's right.
Well, I love your skits. I love it.
This was so, so fun. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you so much. I had such a fun time gabbing with you.
Yes, thanks for coming.
On the pod, off the pod, I'm around.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
You can come on anytime.
We'll probably try to... get a picture from you, or we can pull one of yours if you don't care.
Okay, I'll send something.
Yeah, send us a signed headshot.
Okay. Yes. At the nursery.
My headshots are like literally 10 years old, and so I'm in the process of getting new ones, but I'll find a good picture for you.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, thanks so much. Have fun at your skits.
Thanks,
and skits.
Guys.
Yeah. Bye. Bye.